Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Ways of Faith podcast. Today is Friday, July 10th, and we are continuing our discussion of the Sacrament of Holy Orders. I'd like to talk a little bit about its origins today, okay? So if we're talking about a priest, right? Obviously, as we know, the Sacrament of Orders in the church has three orders to it: deacon, priest, bishop. But let's just talk about the priesthood in general here to start. Okay, if we're talking about a priest, and you had to sum up in one sentence or phrase, what is the role of a priest? And now here, think a little bit more than just necessarily the Catholic priesthood, because remember, in our Jewish brothers and sisters, our Jewish ancestry had a system of priests as well. That's the predecessor to the priesthood that we have today. Okay. What is the job, the role, the call of a priest? What is his unique or specific duty or function or identity or purpose, right? And we might think, well, it's impossible to really put it in one sentence. He does a lot of things. He does. But if you had to boil it down, you could say this: the priest is one who offers sacrifice. The priest is one who offers sacrifice, specifically who offers sacrifice to God on behalf of God's people, okay? Now again, obviously a priest does more than just that, but that's his primary identity or role or purpose for his call of priesthood. He's one who offers sacrifice, right? Now, we, of course, should be immediately drawn to the idea of the sacrifice of the Mass. You can recall that I talked about that in talking about the Sacrament of the Holy Eucharist several weeks ago, that the Eucharist is a sacrifice, right? It is the re-presentation here and now in this day, time, and moment of the very and true sacrifice of Jesus when he offered himself in our place and for our salvation on the cross, offering up his body and blood and his soul and divinity, his entire person to God the Father, right? And that the priest makes that sacrifice present here and now by the consecration of the Eucharist, right? So the Catholic priest is one who offers sacrifice to God on behalf of the people, because celebrating Mass is the priest's, you could say, his principal act every day. It's the most important thing that he does, that he can do, because it's not his sacrifice, it's Jesus' sacrifice. It's God's action working through him. Of course, hearing confessions and granting absolution is incredibly important as well, but that is intimately tied to the sacrifice of the cross, right? Because the forgiveness of sins is only possible because Jesus first died on the cross to forgive our sins. Same with the sacrament of baptism and the other sacraments as well. So the priest is one, in general, who offers sacrifice on behalf of God, on behalf of men, excuse me, to God, right? And so that was true in the Old Testament too, except that the offering looked a little different, obviously. But the role of the priestly class in the Old Testament was to offer sacrifice to God. That's what they did on behalf of the people, specifically for the forgiveness or in atonement, in reparation for their sins and the priest's own sins too, the people as a whole, okay? So the catechism here is, again, beautifully instructive, and I would highly recommend reading what the catechism has to say about the Sacrament of Holy Orders and about the priesthood, because it's wonderful, it's well-written, and it's great matter for reflection and thought and prayer, okay? So this is paragraph number 1539. We're talking about the priesthood of the Old Covenant first, which is what the Catechism typically does with the sacraments, right? It starts by looking at each sacrament's kind of predecessor in our Jewish ancestry, because it's there, okay, in foreshadowed ways. So, this is paragraph 1539. It says this: "The chosen people, Israel, was constituted by God as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Okay, so the whole people of Israel, the chosen people, were a kingdom of priests, right? Which is interesting because we still use that language today, right? Every Christian who has been baptized is a priest, a prophet, and a king in imitation or according to the great high priest, prophet, and king Jesus Christ, because we share in his life, grace, and holiness when we are baptized, right? Okay, so we are all called. That means then if we're all priests, every person who's baptized is a priest. That means then we're all called to offer sacrifice. Well, what kind of sacrifice? Well, I'm going to get back to that, okay? But let's return to the catechism here. It says, the chosen people was constituted by God as a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, okay? But within the people of God, within the people of Israel, God chose one of the 12 tribes. Remember, there was 12 tribes of Israel, right? He chose specifically the tribe of Levi and set it apart for liturgical service. Think of worship, okay? God himself is its inheritance, right? A special rite consecrated the beginnings of the priesthood of the Old Covenant. The priests are appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God to offer gifts and sacrifices for sins. Now notice there's a footnote right there, right? And what's it referring to? Hebrews, the New Testament. That's a quote from Hebrews. And then it also gives places that you can look for further study, Exodus and Leviticus in the Old Testament, because the Old Testament priests had to go through a whole ritual to be ordained priests. And you know, it's very interesting because if you look at it, you're going to find it's very similar to what we do now, right? Which of course is to be expected, but it's also beautiful. But notice, what is the priest appointed to do? To act on behalf of men in relation to God. So to be a go-between is one of the ways that I like to express it. A mediator, okay? One who pleads to God on behalf of his people, okay? So it's the direction of going towards God. The priest is the one who brings the needs of the people of God to God, right? And then he brings God to the people. He brings God's gifts and graces to God's people. He's a go-between. Now, I want to take a sidebar here because sometimes people will say, okay, but you don't need to go through a priest to get to God, right? I mean, I don't need to go talk to a Catholic priest in order to get to God. It's not like God's not going to listen to me unless I first send my message to him through a priest. Well, no, that's true. That's right. We can go directly to God. But it is the way that God has chosen in his providence and for whatever reason that he has seen as best to come to us and to minister his graces to us, right? So at every moment of our lives of faith where we take big steps in the life of grace, and what I mean by that is baptism, first confession, first communion, confirmation, marriage, last rites, anointing of the sick, these milestones, you could say, although I use that word cautiously because sometimes that makes it sound like it's, you know, things that we complete and then we're done. That's not true, right? But they are significant moments of encountering God's grace in our lives that mirror, as I said before when we talked about the sacraments, that mirror the stages of growth in our human, you know, bodily lives, okay? At every stage, there's a priest, right? In some instances, or a deacon, or a bishop, but there's an ordained minister there interceding for us and bringing God to us. The priest brings God to the people by baptizing them, by absolving their sins in confession, by bringing them the Holy Eucharist and feeding and nourishing their souls, by confirming them in the Holy Spirit, by witnessing their marriages, by anointing them and preparing their souls for death and to meet God at the end of their life. Okay? So, is it possible for God to communicate to lay people and lay people to communicate with God outside of the intercessory role or the mediation of a Catholic priest? Well, of course it is. But again, like we've seen with the other sacraments, this is the way that God has chosen and asked for us to encounter him. And it makes sense when you think about the fact that Jesus himself came to us, right? He is God become man. That's why the scriptures talk about Jesus as the one true mediator between God and humanity. He is the one that brings us back into contact with one another, that reconciles us to God the Father through his death on the cross and his resurrection from the dead, right? So he is the one mediator. And so sometimes, I just want to say this as a sidebar, sometimes some of our Protestant brothers and sisters will object and say, yes, that's right. The New Testament says that Jesus is the one, or even the sole mediator between God and man. So then why do you think that you need to go to a priest? Because the scripture says Jesus alone is the sole mediator, right? Well, the answer to that is very simple. Father Steve, myself as a priest, or Father Michael, or anyone else, we are not a priest on our own. I am only a priest insofar as I share in the one priesthood of Jesus Christ. Okay? So my authority to exercise the priesthood is only because I share in the, you could say, the lifeblood of the priesthood that flows from Jesus himself, who is truly the one mediator. Okay? That's why the church teaches and believes and holds and has passed down that when the priest acts sacramentally at Mass, confession, whatever, he's acting not in his own person, because then we would have more than one mediator, right? He's acting in the very person of Christ himself. Okay? So it is Jesus who is acting. He's just acting through his ministers. But it's still Jesus' priesthood that's being exercised. That's really important. It's not my priesthood. I don't even want to say, or I don't even like to use the words, my priesthood, referring to myself, you know? Because it's really not my priesthood. It's Jesus' priesthood that I have been privileged to be asked to help exercise. And so my identity as a priest is drawn up into the fact that I share in Jesus' priesthood, his high priesthood. And that's the only way I have the authority to do what I'm able to do, is because through reception of the sacrament of holy orders, receiving that sacrament has then given me access to Jesus' priesthood. Jesus has given me a share in his priesthood. Okay? Hopefully that makes some sense. And it's a really important point for us to remember, okay, is that the priest is never his own. The priest is always priest in relation, direct relation to Jesus Christ, who is the high priest of our confession, right? The high priest of our faith, the one mediator between God and man, okay? Now, let's return to the Old Testament here a bit, okay? If you look at paragraph 1540, it says, instituted to proclaim the word of God and to restore communion with God by sacrifices and prayer, this priesthood, now this is referring to the Old Testament priesthood before Jesus, okay, the Jewish priesthood, nevertheless remains powerless to bring about salvation, eternal life, needing to repeat its sacrifices ceaselessly, and being unable to achieve a definitive sanctification, which only the sacrifice of Christ would accomplish. Okay? But the church sees, of course, in the Jewish priesthood of Aaron and his sons, the Levites, as a prefigurement of the new covenant priesthood, which fulfills the Old Testament priesthood. Okay? So in the Old Testament, the prayers and sacrifices offered to God had to do with offering animal sacrifices primarily, okay? And it's very interesting to think about that. I mean, it's very foreign to us, and rightly so. The idea of animal sacrifices is foreign to us, as moderns. But when you look at it, at the same time, there's something that connects it very much to the Holy Eucharist. What do I mean by that? Well, what the sacrifices of the Old Testament demonstrate is that to atone for sins, blood has to be shed, right? Life has to be given or poured out, right? So life for life, right? So the priests, in the attempt to win God's favor and to bring about atonement or forgiveness of sins for the people would take the life of an animal, an ox or a sheep or whatever, okay, and then offer that to God, okay, as a sign of, us offering our own lives to God, but rather than actually take the life of a human being, which of course is always wrong because of the fact that a human being has a dignity all his own or her own. That's different from an animal, okay? We can take the lives of animals for certain purposes. We can never intentionally take the life of an innocent person, okay? So take the life of an animal as a sign of our desire to pour out our lives and our life's blood, so to say, before the Lord, to make atonement for what we've done wrong, to say, my life is at your service, okay? And then, of course, what happens? Well, Jesus comes, and he does exactly that. He freely offers up his own life. He allows himself to be executed, okay, for our sake, in our place, to forgive our sins. That's why we refer to him as the Lamb of God, right? The Lamb of sacrifice. And then when we celebrate the Eucharist, that sacrifice is represented here and now for us so we can partake in it and be nourished by it and have our sins forgiven and experience the salvation that Jesus has won for us. But all of that is prefigured in the Old Testament offerings of the Old Testament priests. But you know, the interesting thing is, in both cases, the Old Testament priesthood and the New Testament priesthood, the Catholic priesthood, the role of the priest remains the same. How it was exercised is different, but the role remains the same, offering sacrifice to God on behalf of the people. The Old Testament sacrifice was imperfect, but it was a prefigurement of what was to come when the Catholic priesthood would be founded by Jesus himself to perpetuate his sacrifice of himself on the cross throughout the centuries for the benefit, spiritual health, and salvation of his people. Okay, so having looked at the Old Testament roots, we'll look further into the priesthood in the next podcast. Okay, have a great weekend.